forgive him down, but I think it's better that I pretend to be a rabbi than that I fall over halfway through. Or that I, although that would make it entertaining, wouldn't it, really? And see what happened. But so I'm going to sit down. And Stephen said last time I did this, he said it's very rabbinical to sit down. And so that's what I'm doing. When we meet people who we've not seen for some time, Tricia will often say, they're looking older. And I will say, well, that's because they are older. We all are, aren't we? Now, this week, I know that Di has had a birthday, and I have to be honest and say, she doesn't look a day older than she did last week. So it doesn't always work that way. But the chances are that Tricia and I look even older than they do. The fact is, people change. We all change. We change for the better and for worse. This morning's reading is about an event called the Transfiguration. Outside this Bible story, we don't often use the word transfigured, so it's not an obvious word. But here, it means someone being changed in a way that is visible to others. You know, there's a sign that says, not all disabilities are visible. And in here, the change is very visible indeed. Don't know whether that's me or whether it's the mic. I can remember a car salesman telling me about one of his customers. This man had visited the garage several times, but had never spoken to anyone about it. One day, he asked the salesman about having a test. About his job, and it turned out that he worked for a church. Only a bit good to have the other mic, do you think? Is it just me? It just seems to be fading in and out. Yeah. And I don't want you to miss the important bits. Yeah, I'm going to, that's right. Here it comes. Thanks a lot. Here we go. It turned out that he worked for a church, and the salesman said, that's interesting. I've seen you looking at that car a few times, and I could see that there was something different about you, but I couldn't put my finger on what it was. Now I know that you're a Christian, and that makes sense. He saw it. There was something about the man that he could see. Have you ever had that experience where you've seen somebody in the street and you think, I wonder if that person's a Christian? And most of the time you don't have a chance to find out. But there are occasions when you do find out. And I can remember that happening to me, and then discovering that this was somebody from a church, or just joining a church that we were going to. In the previous chapter, Jesus had asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. From that point onward, Jesus began to talk to them about the cross and his coming suffering. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Not a very good recruiting slogan, was it? A young American missionary in the Amazon called Jim Elliot was killed by South American tribespeople in the 1950s, a story that hit the headlines around the world. Shortly before his death, he had written almost prophetically, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Denying yourself and following Jesus is a much better deal than it sounds. On the surface, it doesn't sound good, but actually, what could be better than gaining what you cannot lose? But all of this may well have shaken the faith of the disciples. So in what was about to happen, God was acting graciously to reassure them. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a high mountain, possibly Mount Hermon near Caesarea Philippi, because they were still in that area, or Mount Tabor, southwest of the Sea of Galilee. This passage says, there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Can you imagine that? Just picture it now. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. The original says it was a metamorphosis, an outward change that reflected his heavenly glory. It was a confirmation to them that he really was the Son of God. But then to cap it all, Moses and Elijah appeared, talking with Jesus in verse 3. Both of them had met with God on Mount Sinai. Both of them were expected to return in the Messianic age, according to Deuteronomy. And both of them had mysterious ends. Elijah didn't die, but was taken directly to heaven. And no one but God knows where Moses was buried. In a typically Peter fashion, probably saying the first thing that came into his head, he suggested building 3 shelters. Why don't we build some shelters for these guys? Instead, however, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice spoke from the cloud, as at Jesus' baptism. This is my Son, whom I love. This was the same cloud of glory that had filled the tent of meeting in Exodus 40, and the holy place in Solomon's temple, 1 Kings 8. And God said the same words as at Jesus' baptism. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Perhaps not surprisingly, the disciples fell face down to the ground, terrified. Verse 6. I think I might have done the same. But just as typically as Peter's earlier outburst, Jesus came and touched them. Don't be afraid. Now, you may have come across something on the internet or listening to another preacher which says that don't be afraid appears 365 times in the Bible, once for each day. Don't believe it. It doesn't say that. And most people who quote it certainly haven't counted, otherwise they wouldn't say it. Depending on how you interpret it, it's about 100. That shows the danger of accepting what preachers say without checking them out first. But it doesn't matter how many times Jesus said, don't be afraid. If he says it, once is enough. Don't be afraid. That's all that matters. There's another interesting point here. Jesus didn't just speak to them. He touched them. Stanley, however, says, Jesus' touch is significant. By touching them, Jesus reminds them that the very one who is declared by a voice from heaven to be the Son is flesh and blood. In this man, heaven and earth are joined. As a result, the earth is transformed, made bright and shining. And as the poet Hopkins said, it is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. When they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus. It was all over for now. Jesus told them not to tell anyone until after the resurrection. But they wanted to know why the teachers said that Elijah must come first. It's in verse 10. And Jesus said that Elijah had already come, But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. And then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. So, three things that this means for us today. First of all, we must listen to Jesus and do what he says. He's God's son, so we're to obey him. When Jesus was at the wedding, which ran out of wine, he told the servants to fill some large pots with water. The servants were not surprisingly puzzled. Mary, his mother, gave them some good advice. Whatever he says, do it. Good advice indeed. A former Bishop of Norwich, Maurice, went to preach at Walsingham when he became bishop, and people wondered, what is he going to say at Walsingham? Because his theology is different. And Maurice Wood preached on this passage, and he said, follow Mary's example. Whatever he says, do it. The second thing is to remember that people are watching you and seeing God's life in you. We don't know what people see when they look at us. We're not aware of it. But actually, people often see more than we realize. And that can be a positive thing, not just a negative thing. There used to be an old song, it's just vaguely coming to my mind, may people see Jesus in me. And that's what we want. That's what we want people to experience. It's people watching us and seeing God's life in us. And then the third thing to take away, don't be afraid. God is in control whatever happens. Don't be afraid. Amen.